This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Good. I'm John Potter with Abby here. The topic, if you'd like to call, 884-9910. Healthy food for kids. Kids and junk food. Urban roots. Nutrition. Locally. This is what Urban Roots is all about. They're a nonprofit that right now their goal is to change the way kids eat. This began in 2009. They partnered with our Washoe County schools, public and private, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they offer day camps and the homeschool programs and garden education in Reno. Abby just recently moved here from South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And glad she did. What's wrong with South Lake Tahoe?
You know, I just, even in the bigger city in Reno, I feel like there's such a bigger sense of community here. That didn't exist in South Lake for me personally.
South Lake is what, 80% tourists?
Yeah. Of course. And, you know, once you establish a little friend group, that's very close. It's close. It's closed off to kind of newcomers, things like that. So I was there for probably 3 years and I probably know more people in the 4 months that I've lived here than I did in the three years that I was.
I was just planning a trip to South Lake because this is the sweet spot right now when the skiers are gone and the kids go back to school.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the sweet spots are getting like a little closer and closer together. They're getting less and less these
just
days.
Like, just like Vegas. You know, Vegas used to have a slow month.
Oh.
And there is no slow month anymore. I remember Vegas was a ghost town during Christmas time, and you couldn't even find a place to eat at Christmas. Now it's constantly packed. Anyway, okay, so kids and junk food. I think that situation is worse than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. So at Urban Roots, a lot of the kids, what we use our produce for primarily is for our programming. Mm-hmm. And so we just finished up our farm camp last week. So everybody's really happy because they don't have to get up at 6 a.m. anymore. And so the kids every day, they do their farm chores. They go out, we give them a recipe for what they're going to harvest from the farm. So they go and harvest from the farm. Everybody has their own job in each group. So they cut up the produce. Last week we made stir fry. So it's something simple like just carrots, kale. They fried it up, sauteed it in olive oil, and there was nothing left. There was about 15 kids.
You probably had to explain to the kids what kale is.
Yeah, you know, I've at this point, a lot of those kids know, you know, and they start to grasp onto it. But it's amazing. I mean, how much they're able to just, if they do it themselves, right, mm-hmm. then they take ownership of it and can do it.
Not a bag of Cheetos in sight. It's you take these kids by class to your farm and your outdoor learning center. Which is out west or east Reno?
It's on East 2nd.
East 2nd Street. Okay, yeah. You turned an old karaoke bar motel into a farm complete with gardens, bees, and animals. Now, you lead some of these tour groups of kids. What is their reaction to the world of super healthy eating?
Yeah. So we moved locations in 2017. So right now we're leasing from Renown. Mm-hmm. So we work closely with Renown and their food pantry.
Yeah.
So what we do is teachers can register to come in for a field trip, and it is additional to their Native Nevada curriculum. So we have a lot of native plant species. I mean, this morning I did a tour and the kids go crazy. I mean, they just start picking things and the parents are like, no, don't pick. And I have to be like, it's okay. That's for them to touch, to smell. You know, it's supposed to be sensory focused. And so they're allowed to do all those things that they're told not to do in the grocery store, right?
Well, we all know that kids say the darnest things.
Yeah.
So what are some of the misconceptions that you hear from kids and the crazy things they say? when they are exposed to this, which they probably have never been exposed to anything like this before. Tell me some funny stories about some some of these kids and what they say to you.
So the kids like to take a lot of ownership, you know, over the farm, even if they're there for a day or if they're there for a week of farm camp.
You got some bossy kids. Okay.
Yep. It automatically becomes theirs, which it just, that's awesome, right? That's what we want. So, you know, they'll go in and they start to, you know, name the chickens, right? We have recently, we're going to have an event in September. And so all the kids named the pizzas and they're deciding what we're going to have on these pizzas. And so there's some like incredible recipes that these kids come up with like one pizza is going to have, you know, blackberries and basil. We're like, well, wonder how that's going to turn out. Right? But we kind of like let their imagination go with that.
There's nothing like a kid's imagination.
Yeah.
But do they say silly things on these tours?
Oh yeah.
Like what?
I mean, all the time. Let's see, I'm trying to think of just this morning. We did a tour this morning. And we were going to have open farm hours at the tour at the, mm-hmm. the farm. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily something funny that they said, but we had two little boys, you know, running around and they found a moth in a jar. And it was like this beautiful moth, you know. And they really feel like intent on finding a home for this moth, right? And they're like starting to name it and like try to figure out what it is. And oh, this moth needs, you know, water. And you know, a couple days ago too, we had two girls taking care of a bee that was sick, and they're like, well, it's my bee now, this is my bee.
It's almost like I was there.
Yeah,
that is so kid.
You know? Yeah,
well, God bless you for doing this. So the website is urgc.org. Mm-hmm. The reason we invited you, Abby, talk about the events that are open to the public, not just for kids, but what are these events that you're inviting the folks out there to see?
Yeah. So along with a lot of our fall workshops, so we have workshops from ages 2 to grandpa. So anybody can come. Our biggest event that we're going to have this fall is our Soil Palooza. So this is our second annual Soil Palooza. It's a regenerative farming event. So last year we had a go at it, and every year we're going to be refining it and adding more and more to it. And so this year we're going to have some more vendors talking about regenerative farming. So really working with nature in fall, and how can you do less? So a lot of people think so much about their gardening, like I need to do this and I need to do this, but how can we just let nature kind of take its toll and do the work for us? And so there's going to be a lot of practice like vermicomposting, so using worms.
And so this is a group of people you're inviting to come out to your place.
Yeah, you can buy tickets on the website at urgc.org. Right now we're having an early bird special. So Reno Food Group is going to be making pizzas.
And there's eating involved in that. And you can sign up to be in that and meet like-minded people who enjoy great food that's also healthy.
Yeah.
All right. That's super cool. Urban Roots, nonprofit, changing the way kids eat and people eat. And kids are so impressionable. I had good parents. And one of the things that good parents do or did was they would set aside a little plot of land in the backyard, and each of my brothers and I and my sister, we each had a little sliver of the backyard, and we picked our crop. Mine was radishes.
Oh, yeah.
And we tended to our, and when they would grow, we would have them for dinner.
Yeah.
And compliment the kid who grew this or that, and it really changes your future and gives you such appreciation
mm-hmm.
for things growing.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was great. I live in the past, by the way. As you don't know if you noticed. So anything else you'd like to say, Abby, before we close out?
You know, right now what we're trying to do is after COVID, things kind of closed in. And so we would like to bring it out to the community.
You haven't fully returned either. since COVID, have you?
No, we used to have a lot more like open farm hours, you know, more community coming in, and we would like to give that ownership back to the community. Really, it's community centric. It's mm-hmm. run by the community. We get funding by the community.
Is your place open door when there's not an event? That people can come in and
check it out. So even like today, mm-hmm. We had open farm hours this morning. We'll be posting more open farm hours on our social at Urban Roots NV on Instagram and Twitter. So stay tuned. We're going to be trying to do that at least quarterly or every season to get more people in. But Beautiful. Yeah, Soilpalooza, September 30th. All right. From 4
Abby,
to 7.
Thanks. And thanks for the hat. What
it's
is
a pretty
this?
Cool hat.
This... Where have I seen that hat before? Maybe a Martha Stewart picture.
Yeah, I better see you in it around town so I can point you out.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Okay, Abby, thank you so much for coming out. Urban
Thanks,
Roots, everybody. Again, the website, urgc.org. Check them out. Events and also Open Door. Bring your kids out there. I'm John Potter. Back to Open Topic now, 884-9910. Anything local, call. I don't want to talk about Trump again, but I'll have to if you don't call. 884-9910. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:17.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
It's John Potter here, 884-9910. Hope you've had a good week. I spent the week as I always do. Cats get me up before sunrise by biting my nose. I inadvertently encourage this behavior because from day one, back when I worked mornings at Channel 2, I would feed the cats all before my shower at 3 in the morning. And you cannot change cat habits once they start meowing and biting at their set time, 3 in the morning. You would have to get a whole new set of cats, but it's not really that big a deal. I love early mornings. I still get up around 4 in the morning. I think it's the best part of the day. It's worth going to bed at 9 o'clock for to run and see the sunrise or walk with coffee and just think, you know, just think. And listen to podcasts and talk shows of people who do it much better than me. phone lines are open. Back to the political prosecution for the purpose of persecution. There are folks, I don't necessarily share their view, but they stand up and they say the criminal justice system is crooked because it goes after black people to a higher degree, or a defendant might stand up and say, I'm only being prosecuted because of my race or my gender, my orientation, my religion, whatever. And do we want to live in a country where that person is told to sit down and shut up? Don't we want to live in a country where you can say what you want? And in this case, if you believe that the prosecution of you by the government is inappropriate or unfair, don't we want people to be able to say so? So that we can kind of look at it and maybe form some judgment of our own and maybe decide whether or not their claims are accurate. Would you say to black Americans who feel aggrieved by the criminal justice system that they have to sit down and shut up and don't have the right to say so? Hopefully you would recoil at an oppression like that. And hopefully you would also see that in principle, this oppression is exactly the same thing. Any defendant has the right to say anything about any criminal prosecution they face, even if your name is Donald Trump. But so long story short, I don't think the case against Trump is going to succeed for one major reason, and that is that it looks political. The perception is that they want to get the guy. Prosecutors... And I've known a few, prosecutors are usually very careful in bringing cases that may look political, as if the United States government has weaponized the judicial system to hurt their opponents. And 49% of Americans polled already say the government's case is political. And if that's accurate, they've already lost, in my opinion. But if they win, tragically, that sets a precedent that cannot be undone. Your opponents next time are going to do the same thing, and it's an arms race after that. All right, let's go to the phones. Kevin from Carson City. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the show.
Yes, John, I like your show very much. My topic is DMV, and earlier you were talking about the governor getting people to come back to work rather than working at home or whatever they're doing.
Yes.
I think his first priority ought to be to get more people back to work at the DMV. That place is a zoo. And I'm
very disappointed. It's been a total failure, I'm thinking, for 3 or 4 years now. I've gone on a rant way too much about this. It's such a disservice. It is educating the young people who do not know how incompetent government typically is. Young people are shocked by this, and they're getting the message through the problems at the DMV, the post office, which is kind of quasi-government now. Dieter, there's still some people trying to get unemployment from COVID time. They are seeing the total how incompetent government in the system created truly is.
Well, maybe that's
one positive to this whole thing. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a terrible negative to have people learn like this. But do you think the governor has got this on his list of something to try to fix? I mean, that DMV, even their website is like, it's a just configuration of just all kind of things you got to do just to try to sign up to get an appointment. It's not even easy to do that on the line.
I personally am amazed that the governor has not acted, and I think it would be to his benefit. Like I said earlier, I think one reason Sisolak lost is because of the total breakdown of government services, and I'm talking about Dieter and also the DMV. And we are standing outside the DMV for 6 hours waiting for it to open. Folks, you have a lot of time to think to yourself about the next election. It would be to his benefit. And I think that's what happened to Sisolak, by the way. It'd be to his benefit to gosh darn it, fix it, you know?
Well, absolutely. And Sisolak's crazy COVID restrictions was pretty much over the top, but that's a different topic.
Right. Well, the virus didn't shut everything down. It was the lockdowns that shut everything down. Now, on the DMV side, I've heard the PR guy, he will keep talking about how you can do so much online. Is it just me? Every issue I have with the DMV can't be done online. And the other thing, they blame the lack of workers and the lack of good pay at the DMV. When was the last time we saw the DMV hold a job fair or even try to get the word out that we need people, and you being a state worker, these are your perks for being a state. Well, then there are perks to being a state worker. Come on, you got to market the idea of working there. I'm sure there are some perks. So.
Well, there sure is. I mean, working for the state, you get a lot of vennies. But anyway, I just get upset when I try to figure out what I got to do to get my license renewed. And I just would think that would, you know, this whole DMV situation should be a heavy priority for the new governor.
Okay. I hope he reacts to this. I do, for his sake.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Great show.
I appreciate that, sir. These are services, folks, that we pay a lot of tax money for, and you cannot have a DMV with a short staff. It's a essential thing. It's so essential that I said that they should probably be moving a couple of other state workers in other departments to man some of the windows. And we got to change the management of the DMV. When I hear stories about how they have meetings with management at the DMV to discuss somebody's personalized license plate. Is it okay to come on, get the act together? All right. We have a half hour to go on the show. Our phone lines are open, 884-9910. I'm just talking from the point of view of consumer. The consumer doesn't usually get a voice in situations like that. This is what I'm here for. I think. Who knows what I'm here for? We're going to break for Fox News. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter. Phone lines open 884-9910. FM News Talk time is 11:29.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
John Potter here, live and local every Saturday morning, 884-9910. Let's go to the phones. Tom is calling from Reno. Hey, Tom, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you. You wanted to rant about DMV. I'm surprised you're not getting more calls. But, hey, I got a situation is that we sold a car, personalized plates. I wanted to transfer the personalized plates to another vehicle. Go online, like the last gentleman said, it's not very easy. Couldn't find anything on it. Get on the phone, give them a call, on hold for over an hour. Then when they do come on the phone, they said, yes, you do have to come in. So then I schedule an appointment, and it's 3 months out. So what I'm going to be asking them is that during that 3 month period of time, do I get my proration back on the registration of the car?
And this is why we have so many people driving around without license plates. No doubt, people are blaming the drivers, saying they're lazy, but there are real obstacles from getting what normally would be something simple to get done.
Well, if you do have any listeners out there that do know if they will backdate it, because like I said, my appointment's still not for a month and a half. And, you know, that's 3 months worth of registration that could be transferred to another vehicle.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree. That's my rant.
Thank you, Tom. I had a similar experience calling them, although I was only on hold for 35 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, John, I think one of the worst things that they did was to close out those DMV Expresses.
Yes. Well, Sandoval did that. That was even before COVID that we had these express locations. And it was done in the name of efficiency. I couldn't make sense out of that. But as I was saying, I don't know, Craig, if you've tried to deal with them at all lately, but I had a 35-minute wait on the phone, and my thing was I couldn't even get online to my account because they started this second-step authorization. You being a computer guy, I can rant about this second-step authorization, which has caused so much trouble, and they were sending the second-step authorization code to my old phone number. You cannot go online at the DMV and change your phone number. You cannot go online at the DMV and change your email. And people, when they are forced retired like myself, we get different emails and we get different phone numbers. And it's just an impossible situation. So what did they tell me? Oh, they told me to just cancel my account at my DMV NV and then rejoin it like I'm somebody new. Of course, all my records are then gone. So it's one of those things that they did in a bad situation to make it even more complicated. Okay, I got a text from a friend of mine who says your rant on the Trump case was a waste of time. Too many people are dug in on both sides, whether they like Trump or not, and any common sense or constitutional argument won't sway them one bit. Wise man there. And this situation may be another one of the news media's doing, but it seems people have such a low tolerance these days for any variation to their party line. I think that comes from the media. Too many people don't listen to the other side, and their reaction instead is, I'm unfriending you. You voted for Donald Trump? Well, yeah, lots of people voted for Donald Trump, and that doesn't make them bad people to be shunned. People think if you did that, then you're racist, uneducated, extreme right. Actually, a lot of people don't like him, and they voted for him because they think he's less crazy than the woke. That, to me, is the essence of our politics. Trump can win because people think he, that madman, is less crazy than the progressive, crazy, woke stuff. And I totally get that. Back to the freedom of speech thing. People like their freedom of speech, and they don't like walking on eggshells over what they say because of the cancel culture, right? We need to do the opposite, which is talking with the people with whom we disagree. We need to relearn the skill of talking gently and respectfully with each other. There's a saying.
And that saying is going to have to wait for a minute, John, because our illustrious station owner has asked me to let the listeners know. I have a tower climber up on the mountaintop on our tower. We need to turn our transmitter off for about 5 minutes. But please get the app on your cell phone or stream it on your computer at 991fmtalk.com or 923fmtalk.com. But we will be back on the air with John live, continuing his talk in about 5 minutes.
Oh, are you shutting it down in 5 minutes?
No, shutting it down now for about 5 minutes. So,
okay.
So we're going to go silent for about 5 minutes, but John's going to keep talking because the stream will keep going and the app will keep going. So, John, keep going.
Okay. I forgot what I was saying now. Oh, I'll tell you what, let's take a break right now. Let's take a break and we'll be back. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time is 11:40.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Hello.
John Potter here. Phone number 884-9910. Okay, I'm back to what I was saying. I remember now. Yes, the media has divided us greatly, and people are stuck in their ways and their opinions, and we don't listen. Listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. We don't listen as much as we used to other viewpoints, but I'm more aware of this, and I go by the saying, which is say what you mean, but don't say it mean, and accept that people are different. You know, they were raised different. They think different than you. They live in a different part of the country. When I was a know-it-all liberal back in the day, this is back in 1976, after I had 4 years of reprogramming away from my family values in college, I didn't listen to my dad much then. I argued with him over politics, and I regret that. I turned conservative at around 2011 after I witnessed and got my fill of how the news media reported only one side. And I saw how they left a lot of things out in stories to uphold the left and denigrate the right. What should the news report? Your best friend is always the truth, right? And reshaping the truth for any reason is fundamentally a lie, right? In the news or commentary business, if you say we're just going to tell happy local stories, that's just as dishonest as saying we're only going to tell the bad stuff. No, you want to tell it like it is. What is? Because that is straightforward and honest. And sometimes the news is good, some would say, and sometimes the news is bad, as others would say. And here's another thing about that. I find people typically tell you something other than the truth when they are trying to play you for one reason or another, right? I don't want to turn on a TV network or station that gives me one side of the story and leaves out a lot. I don't want distortions. I don't want deceptions. I want you to be the one who decides, who picks, who sorts through. You can close yourself off in the world, and that's fine. A lot of people actively do not listen to the news, which is their choice. It doesn't make them bad people or anything else by any means, right? But when you turn on a newscast on this station or on a TV station or an app on your phone or the blah, blah, blah of your smart speaker, that newscast should be a straightforward, just the way it is, just the facts recounting of what transpired. Anytime you try to slant it or flavor it with all the hype stuff, it's always the end of the world. It's a catastrophe culture. Everything is a blockbuster report. Never before in human history, which is not quite true. Anyway, even if you try to make the news story more agreeable to this type of person or that type of person, or any time you make it positive or anything like that, you're just lying with different shades representing your own politics, right? You're just lying in some prettier way. I notice when I sometimes turn on the network television news that I get a steady diet of the climate is going bad and Trump is bad. I can sense there a dishonesty of despair. They keep pushing the same side. I don't mean to get off on yet another tangent like I'm doing here. I'm just saying that when people go, oh, yeah, let's have some positive news. And we all go, yeah, yeah. I just politely say, how about we just have news? Okay. And I'll decide for myself and you can decide for yourself what is positive and what is negative. I don't want anybody putting their spin on anything. Even if they've got a smile on their face. But what do we have now? Remember that story a month or two ago? Somebody videotaped Ron DeSantis eating food and the sounds that he makes and all. The supposed news network said in anonymous, oh, they love that anonymous unverified source, don't they? The anonymous former staffer. Always be skeptical when the news passes off anonymous as a source, though they keep doing it. But anyway, anonymous former staffer said the Florida governor eats like a starving animal who's never seen food before. The unidentified staffer said that one time on a private jet, DeSantis ate a bowl of chocolate pudding with three of his fingers. Did you see this? Then on Fox, Piers Morgan asked DeSantis something along the lines of, have you ever seen the media report on how anyone in the other party eats? Or it was something like that. I do, okay, equal time. I do remember the five on Fox having some laughs over how Obama ordered a burger. Remember the Dijon scandal? And they reported on Donald Trump's McDonald's fixation. Remember that? Oh, how unhealthy. Oh, he's so out of shape. And now we have Puddingate with DeSantis. Do they really need to eat like the rest of us to be a good president? Listen, I'm old. I remember Nixon ate cottage cheese with ketchup. Didn't see it on the news a lot, but that's one of the things I read. Bill Clinton loved Jell-O salad and Cherry Coke, and Nevada still voted for him. And is it just me, as I try to wrap up where I'm going here, is it just me, Democrats and the media are too down on our own country? Yeah, we have a sorry past. It's in the past. Can't do anything about it now. Well, you can do things about it now, sure, but it can't all be about the past. And they're just more critical and pessimistic about the U.S. than they are of almost any other country. Yeah, we do have a lot of problems. We've had a lot of problems. But Democrats do not have a good reputation for being, yeah, America. F yes, America. And I don't know. So just something, maybe it's just me that I've noticed. Okay, other topic. The Hollywood writers and actors strike continues for another day. How long has it been now? Oh, my gosh. It's been over, I think close to 4 months. It's over 3 months now. Are you suffering because of the actors and the writers being on strike?
I don't know about you. I'm going to withdrawals.
Are you really? By the way, is the transmitter working?
Not yet.
Okay, well, then we can just talk. What about you, Craig? How are you dealing with this?
I'm going back and Netflix binge watching old shows that I haven't seen, like from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s.
Me too. my wife and I are a black and white viewing public now. I go way back. I'm happily living in black and white, 1964 thereabouts. Been watching Perry Mason, Beverly Hillbillies, Gunsmoke, and we are excited to see a new Fugitive episode every week. They only run it like once a week. Yeah. Don't tell me how it ends, by the way.
Definitely won't. And this has been going on since May 2nd, so three and a half months.
3.5 months. Well, I'll tell you one thing I noticed watching the old shows is great scripts and plots back then. Nobody cussing. Nobody walking around shirtless, covered in tattoos.
And you notice how in the mystery shows that they all get solved in the last 3 minutes of the show?
Yes.
That's still the same format that they use today, by the way.
Sometimes. I get frustrated. You know, ID Channel runs all these series, and I hate wasting an hour watching this disappearance or murder story and then find out at the very last minute that they never caught the person. I want to see somebody pay for what has been done. Also, something you see on the old shows, men with manners and the golden rule. I see that on old TV. I've been watching also, I forgot to mention another show, Highway Patrol, Broderick Crawford, Chief Dan Matthews on the TV show Highway Patrol. I grew up on that show, and there it is. They're running at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning on MeTV. Broderick Crawford could roll over his squad car and still keep his hat on. He chased criminals with his suit coat on. He could hit anybody with his snub-nose 38 from 100 yards. 10-4, 2150 to headquarters. I want a roadblock here, 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 and here. Boy, he sure liked playing with that map on the hood of that DeSoto. And that accuracy with the snub-nose 38 fired at the hip got the bad guy every time. And that 38, boy, that would shoot more than 6 bullets when necessary. And the way he talked to crooks, I love the way Broderick Crawford talked to crooks. All right, you lousy slobs. And then he would end each episode with these wise, catchy safety messages. The careless driver isn't driving his car, he's aiming it. Leave your blood at the Red Cross, not on the highway. It isn't the car that kills, it's the driver. Clowns belong in the circus, not on the highway. It is so funny to see not only the lonely California highways with no traffic, but also the patrol cars bouncing up and down like rubber balls. They had shock absorbers back then that apparently did not stabilize the cars very well. They were these big hulks with plenty of body roll back then, big old DeSotos and Buicks, the age of the dinosaurs. Those 55 centuries were monsters. And yes, the outdoor scenes of California back then, oh my gosh, 2-lane roads, ranch land and desert as far as the eye could see, mountains and hills and little 20-room motels and 2 pump gas stations alongside an empty highway. Take me back. This was California. And I noticed that the Highway Patrol show had very, very attractive females all wearing push-up bras and tops that were a size short. Can't imagine why they would do that. And, you know, that and the cops and the robbers. It's a boy's dream. The Highway Patrol. Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws. Truly one of those great 1950s police shows, like the original Dragnet, back before the moral ambiguity of the late 60s took over. So I enjoy my unhip black and white TV shows. I don't care what anybody thinks. Don't care if I sound very old talking about them. I had a great conversation with some new friends at the class reunion I went to 3 weeks ago. where everybody was talking about how old we all looked. And at our table, I was asked by a fellow senior, how do I confront age? I said, I confront age with wonder and terror. Wonder and terror. They ask, what do you do for a living now? I said, my best. I do my very best. And folks, don't worry about getting older. You still do dumb stuff, only you do it slower. We're still going to do dumb stuff, but it's more slow and steady. And then we'll do that dumb thing again because we forget the time that we did it before. There, that's the difference. We know not many will admit it, but I will. I sure have had a lot of time to think during my time away from my full-time job. So I'm going to leave you with, as long as we're going back in time here, folks, I'm going to leave you with some words that only people who've been in Reno for a very long time know. And that is, how did he say it? Let me think now. I'm thinking bright lights. What was it? Bright light. It was Jack Joseph. Craig probably knows. He used to work there.
After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out.
Yeah, something like that. Bright lights. And you know what? By next Saturday, it'll come back to me.
Bright lights, blue skies.
Bright lights, blue skies, and peace, everybody. That was it. That was it. I'll see you next Saturday.